This is KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumry. Thank you for listening. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has landed on a solution to put an end to glacial outburst floods that have grown more destructive in Juneau's Mendenhall Valley neighborhoods over the past few summers. The agency has decided to pursue something called a lake tap. It's essentially a tunnel through the mountain on the east side of the glacier that's meant to steadily drain Suicide Basin so it can't fill to the point of bursting and send some 16 billion gallons of water through the valley. Denise Koch is the Director of Engineering and Public Works at the City and Borough of Juneau. She explains it like this.
I just think about Suicide Basin as a proverbial bathtub. And what the lake tap is just leaving the drain open.
She says the drain will empty that water into Mendenhall Lake somewhere between the face of the glacier and Nugget Falls. The decision comes after a three-day closed-door meeting the Army Corps held with federal agencies, local officials, and researchers in Juneau this week. The main task was to discuss the five options to prevent homes from flooding in the future. The Army Corps initially planned to host press briefings each day, but canceled them on the first day of the meetings. The Forest Service, the city, and Tlingit and Haida announced today that they support the lake tap option, aligning with many of the public comments the Army Corps received last month. Besides a lake tap, the options discussed at the meeting were a dam at the outlet of the Mendenhall Lake, a permanent levee, a bypass channel through the Mendenhall River floodplain, and relocating impacted residents from the valley. Koch says the group weighed options based on risk to downstream residents, how quickly they could be built, and the overall cost.
Ultimately, a lake tap was seen to reduce risk the most while being able to be constructed the most quickly for the lowest amount of cost with the least complex and least costly operation and maintenance.
Koch says the tunnel could take as long as 6 years to excavate, assuming the process goes slowly. And it could cost somewhere between $600 million and $1 billion. But she says those estimates are very rough at this stage. The Army Corps aims to finish its technical report for the lake tap in May. That will include a preliminary design, a more detailed cost estimate, and a draft environmental review. There will be another public comment period once it's complete. And the Army Corps will need to request authorization and funding from Congress to make it happen. And Juneau Animal Rescue might soon have a location in the Mendenhall Valley for its proposed animal shelter. The Juneau Assembly is slated to vote Monday night on whether to lease a parcel of city property to the rescue for less than fair market value. The nonprofit organization has been fundraising to construct a newer, updated facility for the last few years. The current shelter was built back in 1984 and needs extensive repairs. A 2021 inspection showed it didn't meet national standards. The proposed new facility would have a better ventilation system to help prevent the spread of diseases, and more space for cats, dogs, and smaller animals like rodents and reptiles. Right now, the shelter repeatedly struggles with hitting its capacity for housing cats. The proposed lease location is in the Mendenhall Valley, and the animal shelter would share it with the Southeast Alaska Food Bank. Juneau Animal Rescue leadership says the timeline to construct the facility depends on fundraising. Also on the Juneau Assembly's agenda Monday night is the approval of amending the Title 49 Land Use Code and amending the city's comprehensive plan by adopting the Downtown Douglas and West Juneau Area Plan. Juneau residents have the chance to testify on the ordinances as well as on non-agenda items, in person or online, before the Assembly votes on Monday. People who want to testify online must notify the clerk by 4 p.m. before the meeting. The meeting begins at 6 p.m. on Monday at Centennial Hall. A group of 14 student-athletes from Angoon finally returned home from Juneau Friday morning after a canceled ferry left them stuck in the capital city for four extra days. The students went to Juneau on December 3rd for a basketball tournament. Angoon school principal Emma Demert was on the trip with the team and says their ferry home, scheduled for Monday, was canceled following record-breaking snowfall across Southeast Alaska. While in Juneau, she said it was challenging to keep the cost of staying extra days from rising too much. But since Angoon and Juneau are so connected, local residents stepped up to keep students fed.
I'm very thankful to be a part of the community that I'm in because without them, you know, our kids wouldn't have food. And, you know, they've really been reaching out and helping us in any way possible.
Demert said a Gold Belt Incorporated employee who went to school in Angoon as a child opened the corporation's classroom up for students to use during the week. Despite the change in plans, Demert says the students behaved well, thanks to a schedule that included time for schoolwork, meals, and swimming at Diamond Aquatic Center.
They've been going swimming at the swimming pool because it's cheap entertainment and it keeps them busy and it gets them tired.
Demert said that when the ferry was canceled, the group moved from their tournament lodging into the Aspen Suites Hotel until they could leave on the next available ferry 4 days later. Being stranded in other communities can be financially challenging. The cost of food and additional lodging eats into the school's activities budget. But Demert says it's worth it because the students work hard to maintain their eligibility and to compete.
They come to practice every day. They keep their grades up because, you know, of eligibility, they have to have a certain grade point average in order to even be able to travel. So given that, it's like an award for all the hard work they've been doing.
Despite incurring extra costs this week in Juneau, Demert says they hope to work out travel for competitions taking place over the rest of the school year. And Governor Mike Dunleavy released his proposed budget yesterday, setting the stage for months of debate in his final legislative session as governor. As Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone reports, the governor's proposal leans on drawing more than $1 billion from savings to fund a budget that includes paying Alaskans a $3,600 permanent fund dividend.
For the first time in his 7 years as governor, Dunleavy did not hold a news conference to lay out his proposed budget. Instead, he posted a 6-minute video to YouTube and a 90-second Facebook reel reading prepared remarks.
Here are the examples of the larger budget items proposed in this year's budget. A full permanent fund dividend, as called for in law, full funding for K-12 schools and school transportation, continued funding for public safety.
That full dividend would be roughly $3,600 per Alaskan, but it's unlikely to materialize. Dunleavy's budget requires spending more than $1.5 billion from the state's primary rainy day fund. That's about half of the state's savings, and it's remarkably similar to the deficit Dunleavy proposed last year. This year, though, Dunleavy himself says the state's persistent budget gap is untenable.
Drawing down our savings is not a sustainable plan, nor is using your PFD year after year a sustainable plan.
Since oil prices collapsed in the mid-2010s, Alaska has struggled to make ends meet. That's despite efforts to slash government spending and the 2018 decision to use permanent fund earnings to fund state programs like state troopers, jails, and public schools. Dunleavy says he'll introduce his latest attempt at a plan to stabilize the state's finances sometime next month. A 10-year plan released alongside the budget includes about $1.6 billion in unspecified, quote, new revenue measures starting in mid-2027. His office declined to say what those would be and also declined a request to interview the governor.
Quite frankly, he's out of time.
Sitka Senator Bert Stedman is a Republican who co-chairs the powerful Senate Finance Committee. He says lawmakers tried to reduce the state's budget deficit during this year's session, and Dunleavy said no.
We tried to take a couple of small steps to deal with some revenue enhancements or taxes, and then hold back the spending. And he vetoed the revenue measure, so I'd like to see what he puts on the table.
And Stedman says there's not much fat left to trim when it comes to state services, so he's skeptical Dunleavy will be able to push through a resolution to the decade-long issue during his final year in office. Stedman says the governor's decision to again propose spending half the state's savings on large permanent fund dividends is unwise, with oil prices stubbornly low.
If we would have followed his plan, after this year, we'd be completely broke. So it's not acceptable. And we're going to have to work through our process. And like I said, we need to veto that $1.5 billion deficit.
Stedman says he'd like to see a balanced budget, not a draw from savings. He says he doesn't want to see the permanent fund dividend smaller than this year's $1,000 payout, but he says low oil prices will make that difficult to achieve. Anchorage Democratic Representative Andy Josephson, who co-chairs the House Finance Committee, isn't quite as put off by the drawdown, but he says he wouldn't use it to pay a large dividend.
That isn't how I would spend half of the CBR, right? For example, but I might still spend half the CBR.
He says he sees lots of needs around the state.
The municipality of Anchorage's school district needs $75 million to maintain the status quo in funding of K-12. That's where I would spend the money. That's example one.
He says he'd also like to see the state invest in capital projects and beef up things like the Division of Public Assistance. Like Stedman, Josephson says he's viewing the governor's forthcoming fiscal plan with a skeptical eye.
Look, he told me and others 2 years ago he's filing a sales tax bill. He never did.
Lawmakers returned to the Capitol on January 20th. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
And both of Alaska's U.S. senators crossed the aisle yesterday to vote to advance a Democratic bill that would have extended health insurance subsidies for 3 years. The Alaskans and two other senators were the only Republicans to back the plan, so it failed to get the 60 votes needed. As Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin reports, Senator Lisa Murkowski's vote was not a surprise. But Senator Dan Sullivan's was.
Murkowski has been saying for months that Congress needs to extend Affordable Care Act enhanced subsidies beyond the year-end expiration date. Otherwise, she says millions of Americans and 24,000 Alaskans who buy subsidized plans will see a massive price hike. Murkowski took to the Senate floor after the vote and said the Senate failed.
We failed to reach consensus. We failed to help all those who are facing these shockingly, completely unaffordable increases.
Sullivan's vote for the Democratic bill was unusual since he rarely bucks GOP leadership. He has voted repeatedly against extensions and, over the course of his Senate career, argued that Obamacare should be repealed entirely. Sullivan did not respond to an interview request, but his office issued a statement in which he portrays the enhanced tax credits as partisan Democratic slapdashery. Nonetheless, he voted to extend the subsidies because he says their expiration would hurt hardworking Alaskans. Alaskans already face some of the highest insurance premiums in the country, and Sullivan is up for re-election next year.
He's feeling the heat.
Alaska Democratic Party Chair Eric Croft says Sullivan cast a cynical vote.
He's voted, I think, 7 times in the last 2 months against it. And now when he knows it's going to fail, votes for it? Are you kidding me?
The Democratic Party, both national and state, has been hitting Sullivan hard on this issue. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 5 degrees and clear at the Juneau International Airport. It looks like it'll stay clear through Saturday afternoon, but later on Saturday, we may see some snow. In fact, there's a winter storm warning. There's a winter storm watch for late Saturday night into late Sunday night with a high of 22 degrees. You're listening to KTOO.